Hi, my name is Paul. I'm an alcoholic. Sorry, I thought there was going to be a song there. I didn't realize it would be called right up. And I want to thank everybody for the beautiful, kind words. It's been a wonderful morning so far. And it's like my sponsor said to me one time, we came out of a meeting together, and he says, if you didn't get anything out of that, it's because you didn't bring anything to put it in. And I try to have always an open mind in Alcoholics Anonymous. And because my experience mightn't be yours, it's what we were still have our experiences together. And I'm going to try to tell you guys the Irish accent, you know, for those that haven't got hooked on Phonics, the Shamrock version app on their phones, I'll try to talk a little bit slower and continue on my spiritual journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. I talked a little about there earlier on. I come into AA and I'm a great believer. From the first day you walk into Alcoholics Anonymous, you can do all three parts of the triangle. Unity, service, recovery. Unity. We see it here this weekend. We do together what I can't do alone. Many meetings make it easy, few make it hard, none make it impossible. I need you and you need me. As my dear friend Liz B would always say, without you, there's no me. If I'm doing AA alone, I'm not doing AA. I got that from day one. Servant, Sandy Beach used to say, the highest pay grade in Alcoholics Anonymous is servant. You guys learned me to give. You put away one more chair than the one you sat on. You're doing service in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got that from day one. But the third part of the triangle, recovery. What does our book say? Some of these we bought. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. That's me personified. I came into AA and 2.5 years into Alcoholics Anonymous, going to meetings, doing the deal, going to meetings every day, service. I said, I'm making more coffee than Juan Valdez. Are you kidding me? Service? But I wouldn't do door number three. I wouldn't do recovery. The steps seemed touchy, feely. They seemed warm and fuzzy. You know, I said, I'd do these steps. You know, there's a line in the big book, contempt prior to investigation. That's me personified. It's old Groucho Marx line. Whatever it is, I'm against it. Right from day one. And there was people talking about the problem, step one. There was people talking about the solution, step 12. There was people willing to bring me between the two. But what's the old saying in AA? You'll eventually, Chuck Chamberlain would say this, you'll eventually see what you came here to see, and you'll eventually hear what you came here to hear, but you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I was sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, not outside, sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and when it came to the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was a closed circuit. Nothing was getting in and nothing was getting out. And my sponsor, good man, you can bring a horse to water, you can make him thirsty, but you know how that analogy ends. I'm a great believer today that the steps of AA are not experiential, they're not intellectual, they're organic, they're living, they're breathing. You got to get your high, you got to do AA. And I'll be honest with you, I looked at the steps on the wall. I looked at them, to be honest with you, as information. I'm an alcoholic. I need God, inventory. I did not realize the old live forward, understood backwards. I didn't understand that the steps of AA, they're not informative. They're transformative. I believe this, and I bet my life this on a daily basis. You go through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with your sponsor. Now, you can go through willingly or you can go through kicking and screaming. But you are a different person at step 12 than you were at step 1. Whether you want to be or not. Amen. I didn't get that. Now, there was people sharing that openly. But I'm not closed circuit. My ego is so defended. Even in the rooms of AA. What's the old joke in AA? I'm like the alcoholic. I'm the sort of a guy that could be laying in the gutter looking down on people. Do you know who I am? You know? And there was people sharing this stuff, my sponsor included. But my ego, NAA, was so defended. There was people pointing to the program, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. You know what my ego does? Rather than look at what they're pointing at, you know what I do? I look at who's doing the pointing. What does he know? What does she know? And my ego will find some way to dismiss you, disregard you, and discount you. So rather than what you're looking, what you're pointing at, I go to the pointer. I mean, if that's not insanity, I don't know what is. And that was what I was doing in AA. And I'm here to tell you from personal experience, I'm 2.5 years into Alcoholics Anonymous. We talk about the jumping off place. And I was at the jumping off place for the second time. I've been there once with drink. Now I'm there for the second time with no drink. It's a different type of pain, but it's pain nonetheless. I'm 2.5 years into AA, and my life is completely and totally unmanageable in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because, I mean, see, here's the thing. It's easy to do what you want to do in AA. I got sober doing things I didn't want to do, or I'll tell you better than that. I got sober doing things I didn't believe in. What has that got to do with me not pouring vodka down my neck? But when I reached a point of pain that I was willing to do things that I didn't believe in, I got results I couldn't deny. But everything, I have to learn everything the hard way in AA. I'm 2.5 years into this deal. As I said, doing unity, doing the service. And I believe you can do the third part of the triangle from your first day in AA. Even before the steps, those slogans, easy does it, live and let live, one day at a time. They were like the banisters to the steps. So I'm 2.5, my sponsor was trying to reach out to me. I'm 2.5 years in. My credit cards are maxed out. I'm thousands upon thousands of dollars in debt. I know why today. I was still trying to fill the hole in my soul with outside stuff. I'd take a trip to the Caribbean, charge it in a credit card, but I come back, I always end up back at the same equation, me on me. And I can't get me off of me. I'm shackled to self by the very nature of this disease. A guy came up to me one night at a meeting. Not my sponsor. He says, Paul, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure. He says, you're dying. And you're dying right in the middle of AA. He says, you know what you're like? He says, you're like a starving man at a spiritual banquet. There's all this food on offer, and you're over here living on bread and water. He says, you know where I know that? I've been there myself. It was like he threw a bucket of cold water with me. That's exactly what was happening. What do they say in AA? God's never late. The next day, this is 2.5 years off drink with no program. The next day, I'm driving out of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel onto the Gowanus Expressway. It's about 6 lanes. Many of these guys know the road I'm talking about. Rush hour traffic. And a guy cut me off. I'm like, oh, really? It took me about 10 minutes to catch up with him in rush hour traffic. I jam him against the guardrail. I'm blocking 3 lanes of rush hour traffic. Now, what I'm telling you guys is, I'm not that type of guy. I never did anything like that when I was drinking. I just, the week before, I punched a hole in the wall in an argument with my future wife. I'm not that type of guy. I get out of the car, I go back to the other car, I'm out of my mind, I don't care, it could have been Tony Soprano, I don't care who's in the other car. There's an Asian man sitting behind the wheel shaking. His wife's crying in the passenger seat and his 3 children are crying in the back of the car. This is 2.5 years off drink with no program. I apologized. I got back in my own car and I hit my head off the steering wheel and I said, I'm crazier off drink than I was on it. And in some respects, that's true. I drove to my sponsor's house in Name Only. Great guy. Been around here for years. Helped loads of people. I've got his mask card in my pocket right now. And I pulled up and he was sitting on his porch. Great guy. He's the only guy, you know, he would have Thomas Merton sitting next to the racing form. And he was sitting smoking a cigar on his porch. And I pulled up and I said, Jimmy, I got to talk to you. He said, what is it? And I told him what I just told you. And he sits back and he takes a puff of his cigar and he says, let me ask you something. How old were you when this happened? I says, Jimmy, this happened 20 minutes ago on the Gowanus Expressway. Are we getting like lost in translation here, you know? And he coined a phrase, Harry, Dr. Tebow, that was a great friend of AA, not an alcoholic, but understood alcoholism like few non-alcoholics do. He was the guy that came up with that phrase, His Majesty the Baby. He says, Paul, you know what you're like? You're like His Majesty the Baby. You're a child in a man's body. You've been tiptoeing around this program, doing it your way. I've watched you. And I'm here to tell you, you can fool them at the coffee pot at 7:30 at night. I've done it. How's it going, Paul? Oh, it's going great. You know when untreated alcoholism or undertreated alcoholism would come to visit me? 2 o'clock in the morning. Lying there awake. Could've, should've, would've, guilt, shame, remorse. And every night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, this book would magically appear at my bedside table. And it wasn't a big book. It was called Where I Should Be in My Life by Now by Paul McQuaid. I hope you don't have that book on your bedside table. Because that is a book that is going nowhere. And it doesn't have a very nice ending. And that's exactly what was happening. We don't do the tests because they're nice. We do them for the necessary recovery. If I want to get physically and mentally and spiritually rehabilitated, I have to work this program. I've tried every other way of getting the vital spiritual experience, some symbolic victories, but nothing of any permanence. It's a God-shaped hole, and only God through these 12 steps can fill it one day at a time. And I was sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I look back on it now. Fox, we're talking about him this weekend. He says it takes two people to make a prison. The prisoners and the jailer. And add all these people up here in this mental prison. And just like regular prison, every day you have to do roll call of why they're there and what they did to you. And that's what I was doing, sitting in the rooms of AA. And these resentments, I was to find out that I was full of. And I didn't realize these resentments, they've no IQ. These resentments don't go, oh, Paul, you got burnt out of your house 25 years ago, 3,000 miles away. I'm experiencing these resentments like they're happening right now. And all the spiritual toxicity. And my sponsor says to me, and I'm going to do it right now, he says, you know what your problem is, Paul? You've never done the third step. That's your problem. I read that third step wrong for years. I had to say to the director, it doesn't say that. It says our friend is an actor. That's my problem. I'm an actor who wants to be a director. Could you imagine on the film set when all the actors want to do what they want to do and they don't want to do what the director says? It would be chaos. And that's what my life was. It was chaos. You see, you have never done the third step. And that day, we walked off his porch into his house and we got down on our hands and knees and we said these words, God, I offer myself to thee. to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties and victory over them. May bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And he says, Paul, that's it. You're out of the job of running your life. This is not like the federal government, co-equal branches. There's a hierarchy in Alcoholics Anonymous. God's first, and you're not. And you got to comply to his will. See, I want to think that God is like, you ever talk to somebody and you go, hey, let's check our calendars and see if we can get together for dinner. I want to do it with God. Hey, God, let's check our calendar. There's one calendar. It's in God's time, not my time. And I was carrying these resentments against my father. Huge resentment. Things in that household growing up that shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have happened. But I'm here to tell you something. I'm not here to throw my father under the bus. He's gone dead and buried, and I hope he's in a safe place today, and I pray every day that he is. But they say in Alcoholics, you hear that saying, oh, you can't change your past. I'm here to tell you, because of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially steps 4 and 5, I changed my past. I came into AA unknowingly with a script under my arm of how my life had went down to that point. That what had happened to me and what had been done to me. And by getting this stuff out of here, because this is where my alcoholism lives, to get this stuff out of here on the paper and sit with my sponsor in the fifth step. And what I love in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in our fifth step, it says we were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. That was a game changer for me. Because I had always been looking through my little hole in the fence. An Alcoholics Anonymous, with the help of a sponsor, was able to get me and says, Paul, let's look. Let's go over here and look at it from an entirely different angle. I told him a little bit about my father. My mother was a Protestant. This is the 1950s in Ireland. She got pregnant. He was a Catholic. This is unheard of. And the deal was made among the grandmothers. She would change to be a Catholic. There'd be a marriage, so the baby would have, you know, be able to get christened. He didn't want to be married, neither did she. She was six, not even 17 years of age. He was 20. They were locked together. And with the help of a sponsor sitting knee to knee, I was able to start to have empathy, even a little bit of sympathy. And then comes the big ticket items in AA, forgiveness. I was able to, we write books about it now, drop the rock, let go, whatever it is. Let go absolutely of all your old ideas. I came into AA with a lot of old ideas. Barroom mentality. That dog eat dog. And it might serve you well at 2 o'clock in the morning in some gin mill, but was not helping me in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm not saying there are any one-trick ponies in AA. It's a 12-step program. But with the help of that sponsor to get to that point, to come round and look from the other side of the street from an entirely different angle and let this stuff go and get free. I mean, this program is like Emmett Fox with the prison. It was only when I opened the... I'm in the jail too, just on the other side of the bars. It was only when I opened the door and said, off you go, guys, you're all free, that I got to walk out of the prison too. The steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's amazing. We're just talking a lot about Bill Wilson this time, and we talk about divine inspiration, right? Given access to information you shouldn't have. Bill Wilson's 2.5 years sober, and they're writing this big book, and he gets to chapter 5, and he realizes it's the critical point of the book. the first four chapters, you can't drink, you can't run your life. You can't drink, you can't run your life. Oh, by the way, you can't drink and you can't run your life. And he got to that point. He prayed beforehand. He realized these steps was the critical point of the book. On a Saturday afternoon in Brooklyn Heights, he got a legal pad out and he started to write. Bill Wilson wrote these steps in 20 minutes. He said it was like the pencil had a mind of its own. He didn't even know there were not. He didn't number it in the end, and he counted them. There's 12 of them. I have looked for loopholes. There is none. It's no coincidence. In the early days of AA, they were going to call the book The Way Out, because those 12 steps are a way out. And I believe he was divinely inspired. I remember thinking, well, when I'm 2.5 years sober, maybe I'll write a book. Then I got to be 2.5 years sober. I couldn't even remember where I parked my car. Is it over here? A book was not on the horizon. And I believe he was, I mean, really. Because those steps. And I said, this bondage of self, man, the wording that they use. And my sponsor said, if you get down on your knees, you know what I was doing? He said, you know what you're, we try to wear life like a loose garment in there. He says, you know how you're wearing life? Like a wetsuit. Could you imagine walking around outside in water in a wetsuit? That's the way I was walking around alcohol. In the bondage of self. Me on me. And I get this, because of this program, I get this daily reprieve. And I'll talk a little bit more this afternoon about, you know, mending fences with my family and whatnot. And this program, because I was willing to do things I didn't believe in. And because of that, I got results I can't deny. So I thank my sponsor and I thank you guys. Because you never told me what to do. You just showed me what you did. And I thank you for that. And that's all I'll say. Thank you very much.